people of the world, let's get together.
Hello and welcome to Clear Conscience Pet Radio. This is your host, Anthony Benny, and we're here on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network for another hour of stimulating and sometimes controversial discussion about animals, nutrition, humans, life in general, and whatever may be on our interesting guest's mind. And along those lines, we have today two great guests, and our first guest today is Kathleen Milner. And Kathleen is an animal intuitive, sometimes known as animal psychics, animal communicators. We use all those terms at different times here on Clear Conscience Pet Radio. And as any of our listeners, who have listened to the program know that we're very open-minded about the metaphysical, that which lies beyond the veil here on Clear Conscience Pet Radio. So we always say keep an open mind, keep an open heart, and be open to believing in things that maybe you haven't previously believed in, because there's a whole world out there beneath the world that we see and touch every day. And on that note, welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Did I do okay in terms of the description of animal intuitives, psychics, communicators? How do you feel about those terms? Let's get right to it.
I think that what people would be wise if people would do when they are with someone who claims to have intuition is to really tune into their own gut feeling and test the information out. Does this feel right? You know, use their own abilities, because everyone has them.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not these things are matters of degrees. When you and I had a very brief pre-call, which I usually don't have a chance to do, but I needed to reach you, and we were talking about the issue of whether or not people are, you know, being given honest and accurate information, and I said that, you know, there's times when I have felt these feelings, and I've had one particular intense communication experience that's chronicled in the book In Dogs We Trust, in the chapter that I wrote in that book. So I think that your statement is so on target, is that everyone has these abilities. I think that, like anything else, like playing tennis or something, there's very high levels of ability and much lower levels of ability if one employs them. Does that sound right?
That sounds right. And even like a tennis player, you can't hit the ball right away, but you can get better.
And a lot of that's about learning to quiet your own mind and listen to the vibrations that are coming from your animals. At least that's for me, and I know this is all very individual and I don't want to make it about me, but in my experience, it's like, you know, talking to our animals is great, but it's much more important to listen to them if we want to learn what they're feeling than to yap at them.
Exactly. You have to have a quiet mind, and that's how this communication comes to you. And there was a French philosopher, I forget his name, and he said, I think, so I am. So people after that think that if they don't have a chattering mind, they're not alive. And it's just the opposite. In order to get communication from above or to get any kind of information, psychic or otherwise, you have to have that quiet mind.
Well, I think that that's very well put, Kathleen. So tell us, how long have you been actively in the practice, I'll call it, of animal communication?
Well, I was born with intuition and healing abilities, but I was born in an age where my parents were hardly pleased. And you get put down long enough, and things happen that you start to shut down. But for me, things didn't happen often, but when they did happen, they came full blown. And at one point, before I got a divorce, I looked in the mirror, and I was exactly what my husband wanted me to be, what my parents wanted me to be, but I was gone. And so after my divorce, I prayed that these gifts started coming back to me, and they did. And since I love animals, I'm around animals a lot, I ended up working on a lot of animals besides human beings.
And that was about how long ago, Kathleen?
Oh, my goodness, that was, you're going to really date me here. That was like, in the 80s, early 80s.
So from that time forward, you've been involved in actually helping people on a one-on-one basis to communicate with their animals, whether living or dead?
Correct.
Now, this is, you know, and in your very nice, thank you so much for sending us some notes about your work. And the first question you listed, I thought that was very telling, and usually I don't read from a list, but in this case, I think it's a really important one because we've discussed it here on Clear Conscience Pet Radio before with some of our other, you know, really, really fascinating guests. And the question that you wrote is, do animals have souls? And I think that that's like, you know, those questions are like the biggies, like, you know, the belief in God, the belief in the afterlife, the concept of the soul. These are the things that we frankly love to delve into because we like to get out of the superficial and go deep early here. So tell me about your feeling about the soulfulness and the presence of soul in any given animal, whether it be dog, cat, horse, snail. Is there differences of level there, like we were talking about in communication? So give us your kind of, if there is indeed a hierarchy of communication and consciousness and soulfulness.
Okay. Well, I originally felt that animals had souls. And you could see it in their eyes that some of them, were like people, are more evolved than others. And I had this dog named Arthur, who was a black and white beagle mix. And Arthur died many years before my dad died. And after my dad died, I went to a psychic to get a reading because I felt there was something he wanted to tell me. And she described my dad perfectly. She said she didn't understand it. He had work clothes on, but she felt like he was like that he had a job that demanded, you know, more of an intellect than it did physical activity. And I said, well, you're right. He was an engineer for Price Erecting Company. He was a superintendent. So he you're right. There he is. He had to have these big boots on as he's walking across these metal beams as we all hold our breath as we watch these guys do it. But more importantly, my dad showed up with Arthur, who I hadn't thought of for years. And that psychic described him completely. Now, we all have an astral body, including our pets, and this astral body is only part of our soul, and it reflects our thoughts. It's like the portrait of Dorian Gray. You know, it reflects whether we are filled with love or hate.
So the astral body, Kathleen, being the physical body?
The astral body is the spiritual body.
I'm sorry, that would make sense. I was having trouble like linking with the way you were stating that. So the astral body being something that's universal in animals and people.
Right.
And that, in a sense, is the soul.
Well, it's part of the soul. It's not the whole soul because their soul is much bigger. It's like God. It's got only way beyond God. Like God is much more than we can possibly comprehend. In a much smaller sense, our soul is much more than we can possibly comprehend.
All right, so we're coming up on our first break. So what I want to do is kind of like just to lay out three things, the physical body, the world that we inhabit and know, kind of like, you know, slap yourself in the face and you feel pain and here we are sitting here on the planet. The astral body that you just referred to, and then the deeper, the most spiritual of all, the soul, the most connected to the universe and God of all of our senses of being. Ready to take on those little issues when we come back?
Sure, those little ones.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. It's Kathleen Milner, and the website is terra-mai-conversation.com. So please check out Kathleen's website, and we'll be back after a short break here on Clear Conscience Pet Radio on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. At clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Welcome back to the world of Clear Conscience Pet Radio, and once again we're delving under the surface of the earth for the mysterious and the esoteric and the metaphysical. And at the same time, we still want you to feed good food and take good care of your pets. So let's also remember the practical. Our fabulous guest is Kathleen Milner, and Kathleen is an animal communicator, intuitive, psychic. And we were just discussing the aspect that becomes a real sticking point at times in these discussions when they, you know, kind of slip over to the religious or the dogmatic, no pun intended, way of looking at the body, soul, and spirit that the organized religions have kind of put upon us, and animals have been excluded from that in a pretty regular basis for most of the organized religions, with some exceptions like reincarnation. So, Kathleen, the physical body, the astral body that you refer to, and the soul, give us the best 2 minutes ever on the interrelationship of those and how knowing that can help us to be better souls, better beings.
Yeah, well, our physical body is a temporary vessel. And our astral body, and all the spiritual writings you talk about this astral body, it can leave at night, and it's attached to our physical body by a silver cord. And that's why you can look at sometimes you look at an animal and they look like they're dead, or a person too when they're sleeping. They're so far gone. They really are gone. They're way out in the cosmos somewhere. And at the moment of our death, what happens is that the soul leaves, and it always leaves through the top of the head. And at that point, the silver cord is cut. And the silver cord is cut by the death of a major organ. At that point, the consciousness, the consciousness that we live with every day melds into this astral body with the subconscious and the superconscious, and we move to wherever our thoughts, words, and deeds have taken us in this lifetime. And what I personally believe in reincarnation, because I've had an experience of having lived before, and what I believe is that through reincarnation, God gives us many opportunities. And we can either grow in love and grow towards God, or we can shut him out and choose the other way, hatred, greed, whatever, and close God out. So we, by our own choice, we become angels or demons.
Wow, that was beautifully done. I think that, I mean, if anyone is listening, we always hope someone's listening and really listening. But I think that was one of the more eloquent responses I've ever had to that question. So I thank you for that. I mean, and I like very much your sense of I don't want to use the word confidence because that sounds like hubris, but you sound just very centered and very assured in your beliefs, and that's very, to me, that's very inspiring, because whether one chooses to believe, agree, disagree, nothing is more powerful than the power of a being with conviction who's speaking from their heart, and you're certainly obviously doing that. Now,
well, if that's the aim of this, I can give you one short example, if you'd like.
Of course, Kathleen. Go ahead, please.
Okay. This was on TED. It was on one of the TED Talks, and it was a Harvard professor who was a medical doctor. And he was sick. He'd gotten into a coma, and he did get out of it at one point. Otherwise, we wouldn't know all this. But at one point, he felt like, you know, he was like a slug on top of his head, and he didn't even remember who he was. And then all of a sudden, he went into this light, and he knew, and he traveled on the wings of a butterfly, and he traveled through the cosmos until finally he got to this love. this incredible energy of love, and he knew that he was at least in front of the Creator, an aspect of the Creator. And when he came back, being a Harvard professor, of course, he tried to build mental constructs explaining this whole thing. And he said he would only get so far. And the only thing he couldn't incorporate was the love. He couldn't explain that. And everybody who's had a near-death experience and has actually gone into the light also talks about this love.
So this sense of peace, of utter and complete peace, that those who had the near-death experiences, and we had a great couple on who do a website called AfterlifeData.com, and these things just become so consistent that they start to gain the weight of frequency, I guess is one way of putting it. I mean, when you keep hearing the same thing again and again and again, we should at least acknowledge that there must be something to it, right?
Right, and also not everybody goes to the light when they have a near-death experience. Some people go to like a neighbor's or a relative's house, and when they come back, they can relate that conversation, tell what the people were wearing, and they are spot on. Now, how could they do that unless they'd actually been there?
That, again, it doesn't seem like a parlor trick type of a thing to me when someone's seriously ill, dying, comatose, and in those states. Now, you know, we seem to always kind of circle between animals and humans because that's the way it really is. The bond between us and the animals is kind of what created this silly little program that we do, that we take seriously but try not to take ourselves too seriously. But you can't talk about one without the other, because we're not talking about wild animals. We're talking about animals that we have, in essence, forced to live with us, is one way of putting it, which sounds rather coercive, obviously. But in the ideal situation, the bond is one of there's an equality that should, or a balance that should exist, that means that we respect our animals and we're their guardians. We're not their owners. And they look at us as their mentors or their companions, rather than as, they shouldn't look at us as some kind of like military authority figure. So I guess that puts me on the wrong side of some of the trainers out there. But how do our dogs see us? I know that's a silly, broad question, but how do they see us in the hierarchy of being?
Well, first of all, I know that my cats thought they owned me.
Of course.
But my dogs, they were just love. I mean, they were very appreciative. They expected certain things from me in their life. But no, they are just their love.
So just the pure expression of love. And when dogs go wrong, we were just watching a story last night, and my wife very astutely pointed out there was an issue with aggressive dog. Killing another dog, and it's a horrible, horrible story. I hate to even bring it up. But during the course of this news report, they said, and that previously there was an incident with a different dog at this same location, and Amanda said, well, that tells you right there, doesn't it? It's the people, not the dogs. It was two different dogs that both wound up hurting people or animals. So, you know, the good that we can do can also be the evil that we can spread. So we're getting close to the break. Two things, and I'm sorry, things like tend to just move along so quickly, and I always wish I could just talk to people for hours, honestly. One is a dear friend of ours who lost a dog named Weber, and the circumstances were very, very disturbing. It involved consuming something, a commercial product. I'm not going to mention any names whatsoever, but she believes that this helped to kill her dog, and she's devastated. And we wanted to know, because I did prepare you with Weber's name, and to know if you had heard anything from Weber that we could say to our friend Yutha, and say, here's Weber's quick message to you, and then maybe arrange a reading for her down the line, number one. And then number two, we wondered if you would be willing to have a live guest, a really dear friend of ours named Stacy, call in after this quick break and give her some feedback on her animals.
That would be fine.
Thank you. You're so easy to get along with. Thank you, Kathleen. What about Weber? What do you think?
Okay. When you had mentioned Weber before, and I can feel this now, I feel like sharp energies in my hands, and that what that's telling me is that he had sharp pain before he died. It wasn't a dull pain. The good news is that he just needs to be cleared. So I can ask the angels to come in here and clear him. And I can just see them bringing cobalt blue and also this really pretty aqua blue energies to him, just to calm down and take the trauma away. And I feel that Weber has a big heart. Was he a terrier?
He was a West Highland Terrier, yes, a Westie, as most people call them.
Okay.
Beautiful
and,
little boy.
And he's still looking at her. Sometimes when animals and people pass on, they don't know they're dead. And I don't think he realizes that he's passed on. I think he's there to comfort her. And when she's ready to let him go to the light, just have her call me, and I'll help her send him to the light.
Okay.
But he's got calm energy right now, and you know she can just keep sending her love to him and into the earth, and I know it's hard. It's really really hard to lose an animal.
Does he have any kind of a sense of indignation or concern? I'm sorry, I don't want to be asking leading questions, putting words in your mouth, but about what happened to him. Is he kind of
Absolutely
sounding
not.
Any kind of a warning
Absolutely.
Call? No, nothing like that.
Absolutely not. He's standing. He's got his head cocked. He's got his head cocked to the left. His right ear is up, and he's just looking at her.
And he just wants to take good care of his person. Well, that's
like,
a perfect...
almost like he's wondering, I'm here.
right. Well, we're going to use that as our segue to go to our break, and just to say, God bless Weber, and thank you for dialing in on him for our friend and to offer her some comfort. So we'll be back in 1 minute here on Clear Conscience Pet Radio, and we're going to have a live reading with Kathleen Milner. So hang in there with Clear Conscience Pet Radio.
Love for the human race, make it a better race.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting. And very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
People of the world, let's
get... Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Radio on the All Paul Pet Talk Radio Network, of course. And we're back with Kathleen Milner, animal communicator. And she was gracious enough to agree to do a live on-air reading with one of our dear friends that's deeply involved in the world of animal health and care. And I want to welcome to the program Stacy Mantle. Are you there, Stacy?
I am.
Hey, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me. What a fun treat.
Well, you know, I wanted, if you could please just give us the brief version of your amazing biography of animal care as a writer and as a person who's deeply involved with communicating in your own way about animals through education. Give us a quick rundown, if you wouldn't mind, Stacy.
Absolutely. We'll try to make it quick.
I'm sorry.
I run petsweekly.com, and it's a site committed to animals with households with more than one animal inside. So if you have dogs and cats or cats and ferrets or whatever, And how to get everybody to get along. So we have a lot of different predators and prey all in one home, and there's some tricks in making sure that there are no breakdowns in the food chain, and that's kind of what our website is committed to.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we
have
a lot
of
good information.
In our conversations before, because of some of the different projects we've connected on, you know, full disclosure here, through Clear Conscience Pet and with Pets Weekly, you know, working together to help make animals healthier and make people smarter, I never heard you delineate it to the, you know, that multiple animal environment before. So Stacy, that's a perfect reason that you should be the one to talk to, with Kathleen, because with the multiple animal personalities that you're managing, perhaps the insights that Kathleen can offer can, you know, bring you some new cool, you know, just a new spin on things that you might not have been aware of before, which is what we're always looking for, right? Something new, something exciting. So, Kathleen, I'm going to just kind of turn you loose, and Stacy, if you just want to like start with like one general question about any of your animals, and then I'll sort of get out of the way and see where Kathleen goes with it.
Fantastic. Kathleen, well, I have one question about a cat that is very, very shy. She just has a hard time with the other animals. So I'm wondering if maybe we can get some more insight on her, and I don't know how to best handle that.
I think that's her personality, and she may be the type of animal that just is going to flourish better if she's the only child.
Okay. So does she need more attention then, or does she need to possibly look at another home?
Well, with her personality, it's really like she needs to be in a home where she's the only pet, where, you know, people can find out on her.
Aw, she's such a sweet girl.
And bring her out.
Hey, look, we say there's no holds barred here, but what is said is said, and then it's just, you know, the person hearing it processes it in any way that they choose.
We also have a dog that maybe I can ask you about that's having some hip problems, so maybe you can tell me how he's feeling about those.
Okay, let's see if I've got the right dog. Is he black by any chance?
No, my other one is, though.
Okay, all right, let's bring in, what's his first name?
Chase.
All right. Bring in Chase. All right. Brown and white?
Close. Yeah. He's like orange.
Okay.
But kind of brown, I guess.
All right. Let's go. And he's older?
Yes.
All right. Let's go in. Let's go with Chase. And Angels, go in and start working on his hips. He's really sore. Okay.
Yeah.
Go in, Angels, and bring in some lubricant. When I was Ireland, while I'm working on him, I'll just tell you a story, because radios don't like dead time at all, do they, Anthony?
Thank you.
All right, when I was in Ireland the last time I was there, when I was in Cashel, I stayed with Karen Milan and her family, and they had two dogs, and the older dog, Rascal, she was 12, and she had severe hip problems. She had her legs kept falling out from underneath of her. And during the week or so that I stayed with Karen, I didn't have time to really sit down and just work on Rascal completely. But I did, you know, I grabbed time, you know, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there. And before I left, Rascal was running in circles and tight circles, and her legs were where they were supposed to be. So it is possible to do healing. So let's ask the angels to bring in light into Rascal. Or into Chase, and bring this through him. And Angel, so as you healed Rascal, who actually is a black dog, so too heal Chase. Bring this light into him, into the top of his head, through him all the way down his spine. Bring cobalt blue. There's pink. They're giving him pink as well. And there's something that's stuck. So Angel, surround this in cobalt blue. All right, take a deep breath for your dog. And exhale.
Oh, my gosh, this is almost like tripping on the radio. This is so cool, everyone.
Yeah. Okay,
it's kind of relaxing.
Again, breathe in the cobalt blue and pink. that's coming to chase, breathe it in for him and with him. And then exhale the blockage. And let's send this down his back legs and down, down into the earth and down to Earth's central fire for transformation. Please cleanse, clear, purify, chase. Take another deep breath. They're bringing in gold this time. Bring in gold into yourself, into chase. And exhale. Can you feel the movement? Sometimes people can feel movement in themselves when their pets are being healed. Can you feel anything, Stacey?
I feel better, personally.
All right. How about you, Anthony? What are you feeling?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, you guys are... Melody and me, yeah, quite nicely. I'm going to have to remember I'm doing a radio program here, but no, that I mean, I'm just so I'm so pleased when I hear that kind of, you know, that intensity happening right there for us to experience. I mean, you know, there's so much to the power of intent and purposefulness, and I believe that that. Again, you know, for those that are the skeptics, because I always want to address them because I know they're there rather than ignore it. If you're skeptical about all this, look at it this way. What is the harm that is possible in suspending your disbelief and thinking that perhaps the power of the mind can affect the state of the body? Then if we believe that, can we not perhaps go a step further and say, could the power of one person's mind influence another person's body or an animal's body? So
one of you, totally one agree. Of you are getting a healing in your heart, right behind the thymus. Who's feeling that, Stacy or Anthony, or is this the dog?
It might be. I don't know.
I hope it's one of the dogs. but I feel calmer than I did earlier. It's been a stressful day, so perhaps that's what you're talking about.
And also, you, when I do like a healing in front of a group, everybody gets a healing. Everybody gets something. So you're going to have listeners that are feeling this energy. Even in the replays, they'll feel the energy coming through the tape.
Well, what a gift that you've given us, Kathleen.
It's very relaxing.
That's so gracious of you and loving, really, and giving of you to share your gift and your unique insight into the spirit with us here on the program. And obviously, I could really... dig the idea of us, you know, having an hour with two or three, you know, different folks coming on and doing communication sessions. So let's make that happen sometime. But right now we're running out of time. And Kathleen, you must promise to come back on again. And Stacy, thank you so much for being our guinea pig. No reference against the KV lovers out there in that use of that term. But being willing to come on and kind of try again as our usual mode without a safety net to do a live reading, and you guys were both excellent. I appreciate you're both rising to the occasion and making it fun and interesting for the rest of us. So,
thanks for having us. And Kathleen, thank you so much for doing that. Really,
and I want to give last plugs. KathleenMilner.com is a really easy way to find Kathleen as opposed to the other website, which is a little more complicated. So Kathleen with a K, Milner, MILNER.com. Please go visit Kathleen, arrange a reading with her directly. And Pets Weekly, that's pet with an S, petsweekly.com, for Stacy Mantle's wonderful world of information and information, education, and entertainment all in one at petsweekly.com. So thank you both for being with us on Clear Conscience Pet Radio, and we'll talk to you next time. We'll be back in a minute.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Radio with your host, Anthony Benny, on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. And our next guest for today's program is Monet Kelso. And Monet is an Edenic Biblical Health Minister, and she's going to tell us what that means and share some really just multi-layered insights into life and healing in particular, and how that relates to her work with animals. And welcome, Monet. How are you? Are you with us?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me on your amazing program. I also love your amazing company. And I think conscience really is the core beginning of reconnecting to our source. So it's vital space that you're holding for all of us and for our beloved pet friends. And we thank you for your high consciousness products as well.
Wow. That just blew me away. I pretty much could stop for today now. No, thank you, Monet. That was so generous. And, we talk so little about the company and the products on the program because I've always wanted to make sure that people know that the reason I'm doing this is not that. I mean, even though we'd love it if it helps our business because it's important that we're sustainable, we really want to make sure the Clear Conscience Pet Radio is a distinct voice for a deeper, more spiritual look at life itself and especially life with our animals. So it's beyond gracious that you noticed that, and I thank you so much for your kind words. And now tell us about Edenic's Biblical Health and that ministry. And first tell us what it is and then tell us like how you got into it.
Okay, well, I'm actually pioneering the movement. The only thing that you can find related to the word Edenics right now relates to linguistics, but that is actually very significant because a lot of us hear the word biblical and we have all these connotations associated with that. But when I'm talking about biblical, I'm taking it all the way back to the original Proto-Shemitic Paleo-Hebrew. These are the pictograms, and actually of modern languages, Chinese is actually the closest to the ancient Paleo-Hebrew, which is possibly based on the latest research, the original proto-language.
So what you're saying, this is really important, is that the documents, so to speak, the source material upon which we base the Old Testament, which is the, pretty much what we refer to when we say the Bible, mm-hmm. were originally done in a pictographic language as opposed to a structured language as we know it. And therefore, the translation has horribly mangled it?
Well, yes, exactly. And also, I mean, just imagine taking the Mona Lisa and boiling it down to a stick figure. That's basically what we're working with right now in English, being a linear language, a two-dimensional language, based on Greek and Roman logic processes, where as the ancient people thought and felt and discerned in pictures and related their experiences to their everyday life, the blade of grass, the butterfly, the rams, banging their horns in the mountaintops. All of these things are what the language was born out of. So when you even take one letter of the Paleo-Hebrew, you have an entire story. And it changes the way it's being related. And so we've been able to peel off the layers of like religious angst, which we kind of refer to as Babylon, which is a word for confusion. And we like to get down to the really basic patterns, the patterns that were first delivered to us in the pictograms that kind of reveal the mysteries of every aspect of life. But specifically, what I'm pioneering is for health, for animals and people. But I really love to focus on my animal friends because they're such high-level servants. They are extraordinary. And my study that was kind of downloaded into me, I didn't really understand the spiritual significance of animals until I received a direct download. And the scriptures were kind of open to me, and I was ushered into a world that I think few people really realize has already been set in motion. And the animals, for the most part, aside from horrifically abused animals that have, you know, maybe entities or things tormenting them, or have actual physical damage to their brains, they flow with the divine flow. And you were talking earlier about animals with souls. Well, they absolutely do. If your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, I mean, obviously animals have these capacities. I know of stories of them dialing 911 and saving their master. They have extraordinary capabilities, and they seem to flow with those capabilities a lot more readily than we do as we get older. Children are more like that. Children are more connected to their core conscience, which I believe is the connection that all of us have to our source. And that's sort of what Edenics is about. It's about going back to the source.
Okay, so on a practical level, when we're talking about how you're trying to distill this, you know, pretty much the ultimate universal knowledge into something that works on a daily basis to make someone's life better, improve their health, heal someone who's sick. What is that mechanism? How do you apply the thinking to an action that influences the health of an individual, animal or person?
Awesome question. Well, the way that it was born was pretty much through 33 years of rigorous training of my own health journey and those of my children and eventually family and friends. I didn't realize I had a gift. I just thought I had lots of challenges. But it was all training. It was all school. I spent about $250,000 on my education. I've trained with the top practitioners in the world. I've done thousands and thousands of hours of research and also contemplation, meditation, study, you know, on the spiritual side of it as well. So I read a book many years ago that kind of shifted my emphasis, and it's called The Path of Least Resistance by Robert Fritz, and I recommend that book to anyone. And one of the takeaways from that book was that he was an observer of patterns, and the extreme wisdom that he lays out in this book, he got all from observation and just paying attention on a broader level than our average, you know, engagement in the details of life, the everyday details of life that tend to take us out of the observer position and more into the subjective position.
So try to get back to 30,000 feet occasionally instead of only looking down at where your feet are walking on the ground.
Exactly, and even beyond 30,000 feet, you know, we have the Akashic records. We all have access to the grid. We all have a conscience that connects us to Source. And so really we can go dimensionally, we can go through time, we can get downloads of information. It really is, you know, Messiah expressed that. He said it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And then he also said, the kingdom is within you. And so that access point really is within us. But in our modern society, we're so busy. We got 9,000, you know, cell phones in front of our faces. We rarely have time for contemplation and reflection. And this is really, I think, harming us as humanity as a whole and as individuals also.
Well, you're so basically, preaching to the choir on that one, and we are running up into a break. So I'm so sorry to do that cutoff there. But
where
you're at is just such a cool place. And as you're talking about devices and electronics, which is just one of the aspects of this, and it's going to segue us nicely into the photon triage, because since that involves, you know, photons are, you know, an energy force and field. So I want to kind of have you explain that to us when we come back. So
sure.
We are so grateful to have you with us, and I want to make sure people can find you quite easily. And the best way to do that would be to go right to the Back to Eden.
Yes, backtoeden.org with the number 2. Back the number 2, Eden.org, and that's a good starting place.
Backtoeden.org. What a great website. The fact that Monet has that website tells you something about her power right there, doesn't it now? I mean, that's a great website. So backtoeden.org, and here we are on the Clear Conscience Pet Radio program with Anthony Benny on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Love for the human race, make it a better.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Amazing taste is in my bowl with super gravy now. Oh, once I thought dinner was dull, but now I'm howling wild.
Ow!
People of the world, let's get together.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Radio on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network with your host, Anthony Benny. And I am here with Monet Kelso. And Monet is an animal lover, an animal healer, and someone who's actually kind of digging as deep as we can get into this spirit world. And we had a wonderful first guest, Kathleen, and she was in that direction as well. So I just love the fact that we're opening up this spirit world to our animal lovers so that we all realize that our animals are part of our own fabric of life, and they share a spiritual identity with us. They're individuals, but the fact that the ones that are with us should mean something. It should mean that these souls in particular were the ones that were meant to help to guide us. At least that's the way I see it. Does that make any sense to you, Monet?
Oh, I absolutely agree, and that's why I love to give back to them and serve them and try to minister to their needs as well, because in our society right now, animals, with the stray animal situation in our country, it's just energetically really contrary to that whole stewardship and husbandry aspect that I really feel is one of our first spiritual charges that was given to us in the garden. And so that's kind of what we're about. We're about, you know, bringing care back, but making it simple and easy, because when I was observing the patterns of health and wellness through all the research and personal experience, I finally received the download that kind of put it all together. And the simplicity of health really is what Edenix is all about. But for animals, it's a little bit different, because we also had the deluge. And the fossil records show there was a double oxygen concentration prior to the deluge. I believe that could possibly be because the Earth was on an even axis and there was a temperate climate without. And so even the scientists lately have been saying that they think that the orbit patterns were actually perfectly circular at that time and then became elliptical after whatever event occurred, you know, cosmically or terrestrially, that was involved with the deluge. So after that, actually eating of meat became necessary, and for our dog friends and cats and different other ones, and it really is kind of an uncomfortable paradigm on many levels. But based on the research that I've done, there's kind of no way around it. So that's why we have to kind of take in the whole ancient scriptures and really process and lay out and follow the pattern as it's laid out progressively as we've gone through the ages of time, which brings us to photons.
Photon triage is a term that you've used on your website and in your writing and speaking, and it describes a technology as well as an actual device, if I understand properly. So please give us the rundown on photon triage and how it works and why one should be aware of it.
Well, the first recorded utterance in the Tanakh is "Let there be light." And so what we're finding in today's research on DNA, the top geneticists in the world, is that DNA communicates with photons. It's both a receiver and a broadcaster using photons. And what they've also found out is that conditions like cancer, different other pathogenic-based and mutagenic-based conditions actually gobble up photons. They're like photon scavengers, except they spit them out as chaos. So rather than taking the coherence of the photon in, like a healthy cell does, and then coherence comes out of that sort of like respiration and photosynthesis. It's a taking in and a giving out, both beneficial, but not in the case of dis-ease. But what we have found is by bringing in more photonic energy, bringing in photons into the body can compensate for a lot of what's happened to our bodies through an overload of environmental toxins, dehydration, malnourishment, loss of conductivity, and also emotional blockages and bondages. So these are really the five main areas.
And those are, that's extremely rigorously and beautifully laid out, Monet. But I want to make sure we don't lose people in terms of the physics of this. And a photon is a form of energy. And when we, is that correct?
Yes, it is actually the quanta or the particle of light.
Right. So when we're talking about the transfer of energy, what we understand most as humans on the planet in 2014 is the expression of energy through things like electricity that power devices that we use, that we touch a socket and we get a shock. That's energy. That's electricity that we can generate heat using electricity on coils, and it turns the air warm. But I think that people don't have a sense of the fact that photonic energy is measurable by instruments, but it's not something that we see light waves. And lasers are a great example. And I think that if we use the comparison to lasers, because everyone understands, or at least pretty much understands and accepts that lasers are used in lots of medical therapies, well, a laser is a form, is it not, Monet, of concentrated light, photons?
It absolutely is, and we work with lasers. That's part of what we do. We're always bringing in the basics, color, sound, light, and coherence. That's what we're after, because really the body knows what to do when the blockages to wellness are removed. But the thing is nobody really understands, or very few, I'm not going to say nobody, forgive me, very few people understand what those blockages are today and even why they're there or even that they are there. So what we do with photonic nutrition is we have a technology that uses a plasma, one of the noble gases, to communicate those photons into the body. And I know that sounds hyper-scientific, but basically you're feeding on light and it's going into the body, much like if you were to beam a laser onto your arm or whatever, and a cold laser for pain, and like we often do. We have amazing lasers. And all of this is part of the return to Edenics. Again, let there be light.
Now, if you are actually treating a person, I mean, it's just like with the most basic thing, somebody broke their leg. Can you, and I always say, hey, everyone, we accept our guests on face value, and we love them for being here with us. We can't vouch for any of the, whether something that they say works or not. This is freedom. This is radio. We're communicating. If someone has a broken leg, can you use the photon triage device to help their leg to heal more quickly?
Well, actually, we can't really even legally answer that question.
Got it. Okay. So, how about this? Okay, go ahead.
I can say something else. What I can say is that in research done on racehorses, with the type of delivery, the photon triage does color, sound, light, microcurrent, and ozone all simultaneously. It's like 10 technologies in one. But basically, in experiments with these types of delivery systems at a specific frequency, and we can do custom deliveries of custom tone sets, which some people call frequencies, but it's like music. It's like playing music to the body. And we can, with a specific tone set, they were able to repair bones in 3 days.
Wow.
That's a broken bone, yeah. And so that's the research that we use when we talk to people about our technology, but we have to be very careful how we frame what we talk about. But I hope everybody understands the potential that exists there, and we have seen personally I have seen amazing resolution of crushed bone and all sorts of different other bone issues with the application of our technology.
Well, that is very, very straightforwardly put, and it's you obviously need to be cautious, and we all should be cautious when we're talking about healing, because you don't want to give people false hope. But on the other hand, if there's things that are new, and the thing that we forget sometimes is that so much of the technology that we take for granted now, and this is so important to always remind ourselves, that no one imagined things like MRIs and CAT scans. Maybe they imagined it, and thank God for the human imagination, but there was nothing physically in our space that did these things 50 years ago. And we need to understand that there will be other new technologies that will either supplant or enhance those technologies. And if we're not open to the fact that someone like Monet Kelso, who's here on the radio with us, has an insight into what some of that future will be, then, shame on us for not opening our minds to this possibility. So if we can, we're going to do a really quick break and just come back and do a wrap-up, because the show got a little bit off timing today, as it always does. But, there's just so much that we could do that we probably need to come back for a full hour with you, Monet. So let's just take a real quick break here on Clear Conscience Pet Radio, and we'll be back to wrap it up with Monet Kelso, Edenix Biblical Health Minister and Master of Photon Triage Technology. We'll be right back.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. At Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Radio on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network, and we're just about out of time, but we're going to really try to make sure that everyone understands the possibilities that are inherent in new technologies and in different ways of thinking about healing, because one of the biggest things that brings people to the table, so to speak, is when they have an animal that's sick, when they have a family member who's ill. Sometimes our animals express our health. How do you feel about that, Monet? Do you think that we make our animals sick physically because they try to absorb toxins and sickness from our body? I've heard that said before, and I've heard some people strongly believe in that. What's your feeling about that?
Well, from my personal experience, I do believe that they're trying to help us process information. And so if we have an emotional pattern that's a stuck pattern, they will try to, take it on to help us process. And that is, I guess, my best description of that. I've also seen animals do some very amazing things as far as dealing with bad energy that is sent against people that they love. And that's a whole nother radio show. It's amazing. But you made a really good point when you were signing off before the last break, Anthony, that is so crucial. And that is that I think we all remember the day the microwave came out. We were like, oh, sure, it cooks it, And then we blew up a hot dog and we were convinced. And so here we are. We've got all sorts of new stuff, when penicillin was first discovered, it took 50 years before the medical community accepted it for usage.
Think of all the people that died.
In those 50 years, how many people died? So this is an emerging technology. The good news is that we're on a much faster timeline and much faster acceleration with knowledge. And so I think we're going to have a shorter time space before this kind of Star Trek medicine becomes more commonplace. But bottom line is what we're doing is we're returning back to the patterns of all energy and matter that work. We're looking at working systems and we're duplicating them in the most natural and simple way, because really the path of least resistance is also the smartest path. And it's not always smart intellectually, but it's smart on an intuitive kind of primordial level in your core, in your conscience, and it's all around us. The information is all around us. And so our goal is to help people get back in touch with that part of themselves so they can access this information for themselves and be more productive on managing their own wellness and their pet's wellness, and then we give them the tools and the information to do that.
That was, again, very, very well stated in terms of the bottom line of the whole thing is that movement forward and the willingness to participate in forward movement, at least in as much as allowing our hearts and minds to accept the possibility of it, because some of what it takes for progress isn't necessarily direct action on the part of an individual human being. It's more of a group, it is very much a group mentality that can be very destructive, but that can also be empowered. And if we start thinking in a group dynamic and in a more accepting way about alternative healing and really kind of the bridge of technology and spirituality, which is, I think, kind of where you're going, at least to some extent, by accepting that and by more of us accepting it, it becomes real. I think it actually brings it into being if enough of the power of human thought focuses towards a goal. And that's where we're, you know, again, I'm probably lose even more people who think that I'm off the wall here. But if we believe it and we think that what you're saying is going to help us, it's much, much more likely to come into being. And if a million of us believe it, it will be. And if 100 million of us believe it, it'll be beyond, you know. So I think that moving in these directions is essential if we're going to get out of the mess that we've gotten ourselves into in terms of living in a sea of toxins with cancers at all-time highs, with disease, stress, and the horrors of human evil that are being perpetrated as we speak in the world. We've got a lot of big troubles out here, and I'm not usually one to dwell on these negative things, but if we don't accept that there are problems and accept that we need to focus on concrete solutions and new ways of thinking, such as what Monet's offering here, it's to our peril, I believe, as a species, spiritually and physically. So, Monet, I just want you to have the opportunity to really sign us out today and tell us what you believe is the most important part of your message that you want to leave us with.
Well, thank you so much, Anthony. This has been a delight. This discussion has been so satisfying and so inspiring. Thank you for your show. And what I would just like to leave with everyone is it's time to slow down a little bit. Give yourself some time every day to just be with yourself, to try to get back in touch with your core, with your conscience, with who you really are inside. There is a path for you that is a path of hope, and that's what we're here to bring. And we sure hope that we can help you on your path to the restoration of hope.
Well, Monet Kelso, thank you so much. That was a beautiful final statement. We are obviously going to be back together sometime. I hear rumor that you may be doing a program of your own, and if you do, we'll be big fans. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for spending this time with us today, and we really just so superficially scratched the surface, I'm afraid, and I apologize for not having the time to get deeper into every single point, but I want people to go and find you at backtoeden.org. Find you and this thought process and just dig in. You know what? Instead of watching an episode of The Walking Dead tonight, tune into backtoeden.org and learn something about the future that might change your life. So, Monet Kelso, thank you for being with us, and all of you who do give your valuable time, a moment or two of your day or your week to hear what we're doing here, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We're trying to make a difference here at Clear Conscience Pet Radio, And all of you who are participating are really our best friends, and we thank you so much for that. Thank you for being with us, and we will see you next week. Thank you, Monet, and thank you, Clear Conscience Pet Radio fans.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love for the human race, make it a better.